Turn to the book of 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. The statement that Brother Jason made a while ago, this is what happens when you don't study. This never happens, but you know, the Bible said iron sharpeneth iron. And I went home last Sunday night and was having a little bit of trouble going to sleep. So I got my Bible down and I began to read through where Brother Keith had been preaching. And God gave me a message, Brother Vince. And if it wasn't for that, I don't know what I'd do this morning. Amen. My mind ain't even working right after all week. But he gave me a message. And I want to thank God for that. And I want to share with you what the Lord's put on my heart. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. 2 Peter chapter number 1, please. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Simon Peter, verse number 1, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. You look at that word obtained there, that means it's something that you have. It's not something you're reaching for, but you've already obtained it. And he said, like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. God being my helper this morning, I want to preach on this subject, like precious faith. Like precious faith. We're all different. But everybody in this building that's been saved by the grace of God, we have obtained a like precious faith. You can be seated. Pray for us, please. Father, thank you this morning that you have spoken to our hearts. And I pray, dear God, this morning that you would help me to convey the thoughts, God, that you've put in my heart. I've meditated on this all week. And Lord, I thank you for providing it, our Father. And I pray, Lord, that you will just bless it as it goes forward. Lord, there may be somebody here today that has not yet obtained this like precious faith. But Lord, I pray that you would visit with them and let them know that it's within reach. Lord, you're the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. We thank you, God, for the promises of your word. I pray you'd speak to our hearts in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. Faith is important in the Word of God. The Bible said that it teaches us how to get it. It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Thomas Carlyle said, a man lives by believing something, not by arguing and debating about many things. Martin Luther said, the true living faith which the Holy Spirit instills simply cannot be idle. And I believe the Bible backs that up in the book of James when it says that faith without works is dead, being alone. We believe in not a work salvation, but a salvation that works, that causes us to want to, like Peter, be a servant of the Most High God. I was reading an illustration, and I could use this rock probably as part of the illustration in a moment, but I was reading an illustration. It was about how that a student was teaching a lesson, and it was in a speech class, and his lesson was on the law of the pendulum. And he took a string and he just put like a top, like a little thing you spin, he tied it to that string, And I'll see if I can find something. I'll maybe use this right here. And he stood in front of a chalkboard. And there was a string at the top like that. And he picked that top up like that. And he turned it loose. And it came down like this. And it came down, back down like this. And every time that it went back and forth, he put a mark on the chalkboard. And you could see the marks graduating down. Till in a minute, it was just hanging straight down. He said, now how many believe in the law of the pendulum? I'm talking about faith this morning. I'm talking about genuine faith. I'm talking about Bible faith. He said, how many believe? And of course, everybody in the classroom, they just saw it. They believed in the law of the pendulum. Well, the professor in the classroom, he wasn't ready for this, but they had a 200-pound weight. They had four paracords hanging from the ceiling. This boy had got this illustration together. And everybody believed in the law of the pendulum, and he asked the professor to sit right over here in a chair, put his head against the wall. And he took that tied to the string, and he picked it right up under his nose like that right there and turned it loose. And that 200-pound weight went shoo right across the room, the classroom. And when it started back, that professor was ducking for cover. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know, Mark, if I could have sat there either. Amen. But the illustration was this. Did he really believe in the law of the pendulum? There's a lot of people that say they believe the gospel. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When you really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, it will work in your life. Amen. And it'll cause you, beloved, it'll cause you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's dive into the message this morning and see what this like precious faith. I looked up the word precious in that Webster's 1828 dictionary, and this is what it means. It means of great price. I want to remind you this morning that are saved by the grace of God, that this salvation that we enjoy came at a great price. The Word of God said that Jesus died for our sin according to the Scripture. It also means of great value. If you don't know it this morning, you've got something more precious than all the gold at Fort Knox if you have Jesus, amen, in your heart and in your life. And then it's something that it is highly valued. It's much esteemed or dear. How many can say this morning, honestly, He is dear to me, my Savior, amen. I praise God for my dear wife. I praise God for my dear children. I praise God for my dear grandchildren and my dear great-grandchildren. I praise God for all the children that's come through here this week. But I want you to know there's none like Him, amen, and He is dear to me. You say, Pastor, why would the Bible call it a precious faith, like precious faith? I'll tell you, give you five things quickly. Hey, first of all, this like precious faith exposes our condition. Every one of us that's ever been saved by the grace of God had to know first that we were a sinner. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in the Bible? It said, through the righteousness of God. Let me just say this to you. You can think you're doing pretty good. Oh, compared to old Brother Vince, I'm doing pretty good. Compared to old Brother Rick, I'm doing pretty good. Compared to old Brother Shannon, I'm doing pretty good. But if Jesus shows up, and that's what happens when a person gets saved, the righteousness of God, amen, it's no problem when Jesus shows up to say, I ain't doing so good. I ain't doing near as good as I thought I was, amen. You know, the Bible teaches this, our sin becomes exceeding sinful. Amen. We're no longer just petting it, amen, and saying, well, it ain't too bad. All I did was this. But when God's holiness and God's righteousness shows up alongside of you and alongside of me and exposes all the dirt and all the guilt in our life. I was thinking about, and I knew it would all be cleaned up this morning. I was thinking about the stage where the choir sings. And I was thinking last night as God was dealing with my heart, I'd been up under this thing. And it was quite the experience. Just a few days before, I crawled up under a vehicle to change the oil. And I had my knife in my pocket, and I had my phone in my pocket. And so that little button on the side of my knife, it decided to take the whole screen out on my phone. Amen. So I'm going to be smart now. I laid my phone here because I'm going to go crawl up under there. And I got my shoulders through these tuba sixes back here. It's real tight, and I couldn't get out, Brother Rick. Amen. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Amen. I'm laying under there laughing. It's Friday evening. I said, well, they'll be here Sunday anyway. And I can holler, amen. Somebody get me out from under here. Here's what I'm wanting to say this morning. It's not nearly as clean up under this stage as it is on top. And when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up in a person's life, you'll know it ain't nearly as clean. Amen. On the inside, that part that you can't see. Amen. And I believe it's a like precious faith, because everybody that's ever experienced it knows what I'm talking about. Jesus came by, and all of a sudden, beloved, you realize my sin is great. My guilt is great. When righteousness shows up. Amen. I've asked people before, you know, if I come to your house, would it be all right if I came into your kitchen? Why, sure, Pastor. Well, would it be all right if I got me a flashlight and looked up under your refrigerator? Are you kidding me? Amen. How many can remember the last time yours was pulled out? I can, amen. Maybe you're one of them OCDs, amen. They ought to pull them out every once in a while and get the dust off the coals. But most of us don't, amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, when he shows up, he shines the light, amen, in that dark place. And he shows us, amen, our need of a Savior. I personally believe, and the Bible teaches, that salvation is always initiated by him. He's the one that shows up. And then, like precious faith, because it exposes our condition. But then secondly, it's like precious faith because we experience the call. How many's glad, beloved, that he didn't just expose our condition and leave us right there? What a mess we would be in. But he said, listen, come unto me. Come unto me. We experience, you say, let me show you here in the Bible. The Word of God said here, in verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, he didn't just expose my sin. Amen. And let me know my condition, but he let me experience the call. Amen. He said, come. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Thank God he calls. Thank God he's still calling. When he gets through calling, beloved, I'm out of here. Amen. When that church, amen, is made up, thank God we'll be raptured and we'll be with him. I want to say this morning. I don't know if anybody saw it yesterday, or maybe some have heard it. I know a lot goes on the internet. How many knows who Byron Donalds is? Byron Donalds is a congressman, and I think he's running for governor in Florida. And he's a black man, and he is a very, very, very well-spoken man. His positions, I mean, as far as I know, I don't see anything, amen, that I would disagree with on his positions. But he was waiting on tables. He was waiting on tables, Brother Dale, at Cracker Barrel. And these ladies come in that had been to revival. There was 12 of them in a van that piled out of that van and went into that Cracker Barrel, and they were witnessing to him. And he knew God had been dealing with him for some time. Well, he came back, and they were already gone. And he went running out to the parking lot. And that last one getting in the van, he tapped her on the shoulder. She said, "Can I help you, sir?" He said, "I got to quit running." Amen. And they led him to Jesus right there in the parking lot. And it changed his life. You say, "Pastor, why did he run back?" Because there was a Savior that was calling. Amen. Like precious faith, it exposes our condition. But we've got to experience the call of God on our life. "Come unto me and be saved." Then it's like precious faith. Why? Let's look in verse number 4. Because in verse number 4, there's something very, very precious. The Bible said, "Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Everybody that's been born again, their condition was exposed. They experienced the call of God. But let me tell you something else, beloved. They've escaped the corruption that's in this world. Jesus said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with that temptation also make thee a way of escape, that you'll be able to bear it." Listen to me. I'm not saying that we're perfect, because we're not. If we say we're without sin, then we're lying, and the truth is not in us. But I'm telling you, when we get saved by the grace of God, that corruption, brother, that was there before is gone. Say amen. We've escaped the corruption. We're no longer living for the things of this world, but we're living for the Savior that's going to take us out of this world one day after a while. The Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we're born into this world, we have what we call a birth certificate. It'll have mom's name and dad's name. It'll have a date on it. It'll have, I think it has the place on it. I was born in Abingdon, Virginia, at Johnston Memorial Hospital before they built the new one over in the old town of Abingdon, Virginia. I was born there on December the 31st, 1959. But can I tell you, I don't remember a thing about it. I've got a piece of paper that said it happened. Mom and Dad said it happened. Amen. I've got witnesses to say it happened. But I tell you, I had another birth. At February 22nd, 1987, a Sunday evening at Landmark Baptist Church in Glade Spring, Virginia, the call of God came. And I surrendered to that call. I said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I love the song. I haven't heard it in a while. But I had a birth I can't remember. And I had another one I'll never forget. Amen. When God saved my never-dying soul. Amen. Thank God we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Number 4. Look here with me in the Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Look at verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Wouldn't that be a pitiful condition to be in? To be in a place, beloved, listen, where we don't even realize what's going on in our heart and in our life. The fourth thing I want to give you, not only does this precious faith expose our condition and we experience the call of God, we escape the corruption that's in this world through lust, but it enables the Christian. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean? How in the world can you be a Christian without faith?" Amen. The Bible said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Let me say this. This is one of the biggest mistakes I believe that's made in Christianity today. A person comes to an altar or makes a profession of faith, whether, Brother Bo, it's out at the steps at the fellowship hall, or whether it's in the church, or whether it's in their living room, and they get saved by putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now they get saved by trusting, and then somebody teaches them, now you got to get up and go try. No, 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 no. Listen, we got saved by trusting, and we're to live by trusting. We're not to live by trying, amen. Nothing pleases God more than for us to get up in the morning and say, Brother Larry, I need you today, Lord. I needed you that night when I got saved, or that day when I got saved. But I need you today. I cannot be what you want me to be unless you help me this day, amen. You see, it enables the Christian. That's what this like precious faith does. It enables the Christian. The virtue here means moral goodness. It means modesty. It means purity. Knowledge is talking about the moral wisdom that's reflected in right living. That I may know him, the Apostle Paul said, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, the power of his resurrection, and then patience. It's that patience, steadfast waiting for his return, and then godliness, that reverence and that respect. And then the word of God said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. The word of God said this, and now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let me say this. I don't think it's any accident the order that God put it in the Scripture here. The charity is a result of all these other things falling in line. Amen. When these other things, when that virtue and that knowledge and that patience and that temperance, that self-control, when those things don't fall in line, there's probably not going to be charity at the end of the list. Amen. But when they fall in line, it enables the Christian to be Christ-like. It enables us to be a reflection of our Savior. I will guarantee you this. There have been times in every one of us' life when we weren't too Christ-like. Would somebody say amen and help me right there? But I tell you, that ought to be our goal in life, amen, is to be like Jesus. And then the last thing in the message today, like precious faith. This like precious faith, it exposes our condition. We've experienced the call of God. We've escaped the corruption. It enables us to live for God. But then the last thing I want to say, in like precious faith, it exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. It exalts Christ. This precious faith does not exalt ourselves. This precious faith does not exalt the church. This precious faith, beloved, exalts the Christ of Calvary. Notice what the Word of God said here. In verse number 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Did you know that we need to be reminded of some things from time to time? That's what Peter's saying here, beloved. You know them, but I'm going to stir you up. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, verse 13, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Let me ask you something. When it comes your time to leave this world, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody said of you, they were an example of like precious faith? I don't know about you, but I don't know if anything greater could be said. He lived by faith, living by faith, and feel no alarm. Watch what the Bible said. This is good. Look at verse 15. I'm talking about exalting the Christ now. That's what this precious faith does. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things in remembrance. The Bible said of Abel in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, he being dead yet speaketh. Boy, I'd like for my life to be speaking when I'm out of here, wouldn't you? Amen. Brother David, wouldn't you like for your life to be speaking to your grandchildren when we're long gone, amen. Remember something you said. Remember how they saw you do this or do that. Remember your faithfulness to the house of God. What a blessing that would be. Amen. Watch this now. He said, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things in remembrance, always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Stay with me now. Watch this. The Bible said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice. Peter's talking about when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He said, man, I saw him receive that honor and glory. There came such a voice from the excellent glory and said, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then later he said, hear ye him. Shut up, Peter. It ain't time for you to talk. Amen. You're in the presence of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Somebody might be sitting here thinking something like this. Boy, it'd be something. Man, to be up there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, I want to show you something right here. Amen. Listen, it'll help you in this like precious faith. The Word of God said in verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Do you get that? Amen. Peter said, I heard that voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. If you've got a Bible in your lap, thank God, amen, we have something even more sure is what Peter said. A more sure word of prophecy. And we don't get excited about it. We're not careful, we'll neglect it. Remember that stack of Bibles Brother Keith put up here? Amen. Oh, you can't read them all, but you can read one of them. Say amen. Or I should say this, you can't read them all at the same time, but you can read one of them. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth. You know what happens when we open the Word of God? Oh, you say, now, preacher, I'm saved. Let me tell you something. You might be saved, and I know I'm saved, but there's still some dark places in our life. You know what happens? Oh, you say, now, Pastor, you can't say something like, well, how about this? Here's what David said to man after God's own heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said, listen, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm going to tell you something right now. We need the light that comes when this book is open. The Word of God said we have a more sure word of prophecy. You do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Peter's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to God's people. He said, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Beloved, I'll tell you, right here's the secret to living by faith. I love the song, Brother Dale, but the song is not the secret to living by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Bo, I want you to see me after church. I've got a little New Testament I want to give you. Amen. Got some little outlines in the front of me, and it'll get you started, hit the ground running. Amen. Go with God. Amen. That's 15 outlines. You learn what's in those outlines, you'll know more than a lot of people that's been sitting in church all their life. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants us to know. You're saved by the grace of God. There's something called like precious faith. Somebody said we're like the snowflakes. All of them's different. That's true. But I tell you, when we become a child of God, there's some commonalities in that like precious faith. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, let me say this to you today. If He's exposed your condition, that's wonderful. And if you experience the call, please. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." There used to be a painting or a printing that off of a painting that hung in many of the old-timers' houses, and it was a door with an arch. There was a little window, and there, you saw the hinges, but you didn't see the handle. And the artist that painted it was criticized. Oh, he said, "That's on purpose." He said, "The door to a man's heart cannot be opened from the outside. It must be opened from the inside." I used to tell the men in prison this: Jesus doesn't come with a battering ram. Everybody know what that is? If you watch the show, you know, Cops or something like that, they don't knock on the door and say, "Would you answer the door, honey?" They knock the door plumb off the hinges. Amen. They're coming in whether you invite them in or not. That's not my Lord. My Lord knocks, and he's waiting on you to open the door. Say, "Lord, boy, I remember. Lord, you've been out there long enough. Would you come in here? I need some help. I need you to forgive me." And I tell you today, I still need his help. I still need his forgiveness. Amen. I'll tell you today, beloved, listen, it's like precious faith. We've got some things in common when we're believers. That ought to keep us loving one another. I have a good report. I got to text Brother Keith and tell him there were no knives thrown in the kitchen this week. No forks, amen. He was talking last week, Tyler, about Bible school and the knives being thrown in the kitchen at each other and forks, amen. There was forks, but everybody that had one wasn't throwing anything, amen, except food in their mouth, amen. That's all we were doing. What a joy it is to know the Lord. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him? He's a wonderful friend. He's a wonderful Savior. He'll save you if you'll come to him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Peter, he said it's like precious faith. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you exposed my condition, that I experienced that call, the day, Lord, that you delivered my soul. I pray, dear Father, today that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Maybe someone, Lord, today that's saved, got some things going on that's contrary to your word. Would you help them today, Lord, to overcome? Even in 1 John 5, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I pray, dear Father, today that you will help us. Lord, for that soul that's in the building today that's never trusted Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would knock at their heart's door. God, that you would, Lord, help them to know that you love them. Lord, that you want to save them. Knock, I pray. Help them, our Father, to surrender to that call. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're getting ready to have a song of invitation.